son.
Roland Martin here, TV show host and bass tournament winner. You know, when I travel, I'm constantly asked about my biggest fish I've ever caught. Well, my biggest fish was an 875-pound bluefin tuna caught with none other than Angelo Viola in Nova Scotia just a couple years ago.
You got him, buddy!
Now, you listen to Angelo on the Outdoor Journal radio show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. He'll put you on where to go and how to catch your biggest fish ever.
Welcome back to the program. Hour number two, Outdoor Journal Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. Next to me in all his splendor.
Me. You had a little octagonal slur there.
Oh my. Peter Bowman of Fish in Canada fame.
Yeah, baby.
Behind the glass, our very own in-house, engineer extraordinaire.
Yeah.
Stephen Labadie. Derek Brandeo and Maria Saint-Aubin at the controls, as per usual, keeping us honest today. And keeping us honest is exactly what we're talking about right now.
You have an investigator on the line. Look out, buddy. Watch
Julia
it.
Levine, investigator with Oceanic Canada regarding seafood fraud, is on the line. And we're talking about the consumption of seafood or fish. It doesn't have to be seafood, I guess. That's kind of a misnomer. Just fish in general. And the fact that a recent study that her group did showed that 44% of the samples taken from five different cities here in Canada proved to be mislabeled. And that is an astonishing number as far as I'm concerned. Absolutely astonishing. Now, Julia, of course, I mentioned, most of it is just a question of dollars and cents, right? If they can sell you a cheaper type of fish and charge you the big bucks for a high-end fish, obviously that's more profitable for all of these distributors and or fishmongers, we'll call them. But it goes even farther than that. There could be some health hazards involved in this as well.
Exactly. Economic profit is the primary driver, as you said, but there are health implications for consumers as well. It makes this really a food safety issue as well. If you're eating a fish that's not labeled with its correct species information, you might be eating a species you're potentially allergic to, or a fish with high levels of contaminants such as mercury. In fact, 60% of the samples had associated potential health risks for consumers. One of the ones we've talked about a lot is that this fish called escalar was often sold as butterfish and yellowtail, white tuna. And escalar can have really nasty impacts on your digestive system, which has given it its nickname, the laxative of the sea.
Ooh,
wow.
Ooh, that doesn't sound good.
No.
So what could I have been eating last night instead of what I assumed was sea bass?
In our testing, we have found different things labeled as sea bass. One of the more common ones was Asian catfish.
I love it. Sorry, buddy, but I love that one. That's good.
Oh, man.
Okay, keep going. Sorry, Julia. I just had to pipe it on that one. That was funny. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was one of the more common. As well, we found, farmed Atlantic salmon sold as wild caught. We found Asian catfish as well, labeled as sole. Haddock labeled as cod. We found all kinds of swaps.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So I would assume that these guys are smart enough to make it at least a white flaky fish. They know, like a salmon versus, the different types of fillets. They know they got a substitute. So like a tilapia can substitute for a lot of the flaky fish or whatever, right? I'm sure they're getting good at that. They're probably very good at that, the criminals that are, that is. Mm-hmm. But that's crazy.
Who are these? People said these guys. Who are the perpetrators here?
Well, like we said, it's really hard to know exactly where along the seafood supply chain this is happening because seafood does have such a complex and long and notoriously opaque supply chain. That's why what we're doing as a group, as an advocacy organization, is calling on the Canadian Food Inspection Agency and the government to implement a system called full chain boat to plate traceability, where the fish is actually tracked as it moves every step along the way so that we can look back and if there's any issues, we can see exactly where they've happened. And other places have already put this into effect, like the European Union, and they've seen it works. Fraud rates have gone down after the implementation of this kind of traceability system.
So there are other countries that are now jumping on the bandwagon as well, then, from what you're saying.
Yeah, the European Union has implemented really, really stringent traceability requirements that trace the fish throughout the supply chain and require a lot of the key information to travel with it. And the United States has just implemented this system called boat to border. So it's not the full supply chain, but it's all the way from when the fish was taken from the water to when it arrives to the U.S. border. And Canada just lags behind.
As usual, there you go.
What are you saying? What are you saying?
So you could basically take a template from either Europe or the U.S. and you guys could possibly build a system for us, right?
Exactly. We can definitely, we need to Canadianize it, but we could definitely base it off the existing traceability systems that are shown to be working and functioning in the European Union, which is a way more complicated jurisdiction than what we have here in Canada.
What can the consumer do to be a little more proactive to this situation?
The first thing I would definitely encourage your listeners to do is help us advocate for real long-term change. And they can do that by signing our petition at oceana.ca/stopseafoodfraud, because the only way that we're going to guarantee that all seafood sold in Canada is safe, honestly labeled and legally caught is with this kind of traceability, boat-to-plate traceability system. But in the meantime, after they've signed the petition, shared it with their friends, when they go to the grocery store or the restaurant, the first thing they should do is ask questions. They should ask the species name, because like I said, snapper can be over 200 species, and they need to know more than that. And they should ask where it comes from, because that information currently isn't being provided to them, and how it was caught.
Hmm.
Okay, all things that none of us really bother asking when we...
Yeah, no kidding.
When we're buying fish. Isn't that crazy?
We could you and I and Julia could start an app, and we put it on your phone, and you scan the fish, and it tells you what it is. Don't tell anybody about this. We can make some millions of
but
this.
But how? It scans the DNA.
Oh, yeah. She's got the info, the scientific info.
Done.
We can make an app out of it.
I'm in.
Done. Okay, don't tell anybody, Julia. We're onto this. Okay, we're going to make some money here.
This is a pre-record, guys.
Excellent. Sounds good.
Julia, before we let you go, tell folks, I mean, you're asking them to sign a petition. Tell them who Oceana Canada is.
Yeah, we're an ocean conservation advocacy organization, so we have different campaigns on different areas that impact ocean abundance, and seafood fraud is one of them because of the impacts on ocean life. Seafood fraud really hurts our oceans.
Okay, but I do want to make this perfectly clear. This is an organization that is concerned with the consumption of fish as well, not just the preservation of fish.
We want people to continue eating fish, because
right.
Fish, if it's properly done, is a very sustainable and healthy source of protein. So we want people to continue eating fish. We just believe that Canadians deserve to know that the fish they're eating is safe for them and safe for the oceans.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. One other question. These things are just popping up all over my mind here. This is not just a saltwater sampling that you're doing. You're checking out, for example, walleye would be on that list as well.
We did less testing of freshwater fish, but we did find, for example, European pike perch sold as pickerel.
Oh,
wow. So some people might think they're getting something local and they're getting... a farmed European species instead.
Wow.
See, now I can see that being substituted for walleye or pickerel, because the taste would be very, very
similar. Remember we did that stop up north there, and they said they had both on the menu, though. They offered one or the other, right? They said walleye or the pike perch,
I think it was. Twice the price.
Yeah. Yeah, for the real walleye. Yeah.
That's interesting, huh? That's really interesting. Okay. How often are these tests conducted?
So this is part of our national testing that we're doing as an advocacy organization. We are going to two more cities next year in 2019, and the Canadian Food Inspection Agency has started to do their own testing. Unfortunately, they had the chance this summer under new regulations that came out to implement traceability, and they didn't implement full chain traceability, so their regulations continue to leave Canada behind, but they will be doing their testing, and we're going to be testing a couple more cities next year.
And I'm assuming that DFO or whoever the federal body that looks after this for Canada, are they on board with you, or are they working in unison with you?
The main body is the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, because they're of their role over food supply chains.
Okay.
And like I said, they did acknowledge that this is an issue, but they had the opportunity to put in full chain boat to plate regulations, and they fell short.
Okay.
With the regulations they put in don't address seafood fraud. So we need Canadians across the country to raise a bit of a ruckus and make the government know they care about this issue.
And all you have to do is go to oceana.ca. There you go. Julia, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Julia Levine, investigator.
I like it. She's a very smart-sounding girl. You're not going to pull the wool over her eyes, I'll tell you that, you fishmongers.
Yeah. Speaking of mongers.